Let's go to Psalms chapter 23. We're going to start there, and then we're going to kind of go through some stuff this morning. I'm going to read this psalm, and then we're going to go to Matthew chapter 11. Psalms 23, and then we'll go to Matthew 11. All right? That's where we'll kind of go today, to start with anyway. Psalms 23, most of you could probably say this by memory, but we'll just read it. The Bible says, "Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Let's flip over to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. We'll look at verse 28. Matthew 11, verse 28. Bible says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." We're going to talk about rest this morning. How many like rest? How many would probably just write to rest right now this morning? Probably, yeah, I mean, I get that. So we're going to talk about rest. Hopefully you can stay awake. But we'll talk about, I want to just talk about that thought of rest this morning and the blessing that God gives us in rest. And so let's pray. Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for the opportunity that you give us. Just come to your house once again. Lord, thank you for the word of God and how it just comforts us and gives us strength, Lord. And as we look at this thought this morning, I pray that we would learn to maybe just depend a little more upon you. And I think at least my human nature, I try to carry everything. I try to just do what needs to be done. And Lord, sometimes I think we just need to rest. And Lord, I thank you for all that you do for us. And pray that you just guide us and direct us in Jesus' name. Amen. So this year, last year, what got me started on this thought of rest, and obviously I think as you get older, rest probably becomes more important to you. And I know that, you know, how easy is it now? You just sit down in a chair and it just in a matter of just, you know, a few minutes, you're gone, right? I think as you get older, it seems to happen more often, right? And you just sit down just to rest your legs, and before long, your whole body is resting, and your eyes are resting, and everything is resting, right? And I personally, I'm a very devout Sunday afternoon nap person. Okay, now growing up, and my kids right now, you know, four and 9, 11, and 13, rest is not nearly as important to them. And so on Sunday afternoon, you know, I am like, you know, I get back from the bus, 2:30, I eat lunch, and then it's just like my body goes into this comatose, you know, or the desire for comatose. So for me to travel like on a Sunday afternoon is not a good thing, because I'm so used to my Sunday afternoon nap. It's like I'm driving down the road and I'm wanting to, you know, take my Sunday afternoon nap, which is not good typically when you're driving. But this idea of rest, and so I bought a crossbow last year, and I had Emily, my oldest, she was shooting, and she was a pretty good shot with it, and so she killed her first deer last year, and so the others are all, you know, they're all into it now, they want to do it, and so, you know, the crossbow is an easy, you know, easy thing for them. And the only problem is the crossbow weighs, it's not a high-end crossbow. I just bought a cheap one. But it still shoots, still kills deer. And so the crossbow weighs, I don't know, probably 12 pounds, something like that, 13 pounds. Well, and it's very, this like I said, is cheap. It's not balanced well. So if you think about it, the front end is extremely heavy versus the back end of it. Well, okay, you know, and you, most of you know my kids, all right? They are not the largest of stature. Like, I think in their classes, they're all the smallest, okay? And so, you know, I've got even Emily, you know, and she shot it before, but I had them out there and I'm like, all right, you know, I'm walking them through, you know, it's got the scope, you know, this is where you put the crosshairs on the target, you know, all that stuff. And I'm watching, in the end of the crossbow, and Emily can get it up, but it's going like this, right? I'm like, well, this is kind of a lucky pull, you know, when the crosshairs pass the target, pull the trigger moment. Gwen, she's real wiry, but the crossbow weighs, you know, I don't know, an eighth of her body weight, and she's trying to hold it out there, and she can't even, you know, she's trying to even get it up. You know, and it's that moment where, you know, she's trying to get it up, and I'm like, well, that's not going to work. And Micah, anyway, there's just Micah. I don't know how else to describe Micah except he's just Micah. And he really wants to, but his, you know, he just can't get this crossbow up, okay? And so I have this, this is called a trigger stick. This is just it's a rest, and you just pull the trigger. So I got it all for him. And I gave it to them, and they could put the heavy part of the crossbow up here, right? And then, I'm not saying that they're great shots, okay? It didn't fix everything with their lack of shooting abilities. But at least they could get it up, and they could actually shoot it, okay? And this past week, we left Monday morning, at 8 o'clock, and me and five teenage boys, we started at the Eel River. We didn't quite make it up I looked at that and I'm like, man, that's a long way up there. So we started at 246 on the Eel River, and we floated down, and we got out Wednesday at Worthington. We went all the way down the Eel, hit the White, and got out at Worthington. And when I was talking to the young men, you know, about shooting, some of them have shot quite a bit. Some of them have shot very little. But even me, when I'm shooting, even now, I mean, I'm not saying I'm the best shot, but I can typically hit what I'm shooting at. But, you know, the biggest thing for me is having a rest. If I've got a rest, I can almost always hit what I'm shooting at. If I'm just freehand, okay, I don't always hit what I'm shooting at. And I talked to the young men about having a rest and being able to just rest that. You know, in Psalm chapter 23, we read that, you know, as God led, you know, in that metaphor of the shepherd and the sheep, you know, he leadeth me beside the still waters. He maketh me to what? Lie down in green pastures, right? He restoreth. If you look at the word restore, the first four letters of the word restore is rest, okay? He restoreth my soul. And that thought of rest, and we're going to kind of chase this through the Bible, and I'm going to give you kind of the crux of the lesson this morning first, and then I'm going to kind of back it up and reinforce it with scripture and some illustrations. But the thought of rest is the fact that you put it, I mean, honestly, if you think about all of you right now, all of you are to some degree resting, okay? You're not standing up, so you are, to some degree, you're resting, okay? And the thought of rest, and let me just give you this, and I hope I can explain it. The thought of rest is not the fact that, it's not the fact that you're not still carrying a load, okay? The thought of rest is that there is something helping you hold that load. Does that make sense? Okay? It's something that is there to help you hold that load. When my kids was, you know, or if myself, I'm shooting something, it's not the fact that I can just stick everything on the rest and walk away from it, and it, you know, it's an auto, you know, guided system, and anything that walks by, it shoots. It doesn't work that way. You know, my kids still have to get the ability to put the crosshairs where they need to be. Or myself, it's not just a kid thing. Myself, I still have to have the ability to put the crosshairs where they need. So yesterday, I had my 22 out. My wife, sorry if I have long stories, because it all leads up to something, usually, not all the time. My wife, not too long ago, decided that she wanted to incubate chickens, okay? So she did, the incubator incubated the chicken eggs, all right? And so we had, I don't remember how many did we have, 12 chickens, okay? Well, 4 of them were roosters, all right? Now, guys, I appreciate that God in our life made us more useful than a rooster, all right? But quite honestly, I don't need any more than one rooster, okay? And all of the other roosters, you know what they're good for? Nothing, except for eating the rooster, okay? And so we've had 4 roosters for 4 months. Well, whatever, however long since they were born, okay? We've had that many roosters. And they're really pretty, and my wife was all about, you know, she's the crazy chicken lady. You know, if anybody has that person in your life, that is her, all right? She loves her little chickens, and they're growing, and they're becoming beautiful. And they are. The rooster, honestly, is, you know, any rooster is much more appealing to look at than a hen, but they don't give you anything, all right? All they're doing every day is just making a lot of noise, all right, and eating food, okay? That's pretty much all they're doing. So yesterday we decided, you know what? We're going to get rid of these roosters, and we're going to butcher them, and at least we can get something out of them. So she was going to can chicken broth. Anyway, I said all that to say, have you ever tried catching, and I know a lot of you have, okay? But we kind of free range, just let our chickens go. And I meant to tell her yesterday morning, when you let the chickens out of the chicken coop, because we lock them up every night, when you let them out, don't let the roosters out. That way, at least they're in a confined space, okay? I forgot about it. So yesterday afternoon, you know, and this is why it's just easier sometimes to go buy chicken, okay? So yesterday afternoon, I spent 2 hours chasing chickens around, okay? And I had my kids out there chasing chickens, and I'm like, okay, forget this. You know, I know you're supposed to cut their throat and let them bleed and everything, whatever. No, I'm just going to shoot them. I don't have to get close to them that way. I'm just going to shoot them. Forget chasing chickens. I am not a chicken chaser, okay? And so yesterday, we had 3 of them. We finally caught 3 of them. We put them in the coop. I'm like, all right, we got these. The other one I chased through the woods. I chased through the briar patches. I chased everywhere. Finally got, and you know what I did? There again, I had a rest. But you know, I still had to pull the trigger. The rest didn't pull the trigger for me, right? I still had to carry part of the load. The rest didn't do that, all right? And then, you know, we went to the chicken coop, and we're trying to get them out of the chicken coop, which you wouldn't think would be that hard until they know that they're, you know, when they see something happen to Pete over here, and they're like, this is not good, you know. I think they had something in their mind, so one of them flew out of it, and then I'm like, there again, I'm not chasing chickens. I am done chasing chickens. This little bitty, you know, 2 chicken breasts that I'm getting off this chicken has cost me probably $45, $50 right now, okay? This is not worth chasing a chicken. So, you know what I get? Again, I used a rest. Now, like I said, who had to pull ultimately, I still had to pull the trigger. But what did it do? It allowed me to not rely, listen, and here's the crux of it. I'm not relying on myself completely. I'm relying on something else to help me, okay? You still got to carry it, right? You still got to do it. But so many times in life, it's like, at least me, this is just me, okay? Maybe I'm the only one here, but So many times in life, it seems like you come to these things and it's like, well, this just has to be done. All right. And my dad, you know, my dad's the kind of guy, and I guess he taught me, look, if there's something that just has to be done, all right, just pull your bootstraps up and get it done. Don't sit down and just be like, well, I hope somebody else takes care of it. Remember I talked about a few weeks ago, problems don't just take care of themselves. All right. I've got to take some time this week and work on buses. I've got several bus problems. And you know, as much as I wish that coolant would just stop leaking out of a bus, I have yet to have coolant just miraculously stop leaking out of a bus. All right. If it stops leaking, that probably means you're out and you have bigger issues. Okay. Problems don't just take care of themselves, but it's so nice when you can go and you can have something help you with that. Okay? So I want to show you this. Matthew chapter number 11. Bible says verse number 28, "Come unto me all ye that labor and are heavy laden." Okay? Now, I think in all of our lives that's all of us at some point. Okay? Now, we all labor, but not all of us are necessary all the time heavy laden. All right? It's like you're trying to work, you know, guys, that you've been out and you're trying to do work outside, okay, and you've got your rubber boots on and you're working, but then over time that good old Indiana clay gets on your boots and it just accumulates and accumulates and accumulates and accumulates, and you're still doing the same work that you were earlier, but now you're working and are heavy laden, right? And it's just tiring at some point. You know, if you got your boots are heavy and everything's heavy. And so this thought of being not just laboring, but being heavy laden. But Jesus says here in verse number 28, "And I will give you rest." And this is interesting. It says, "Take my yoke upon you." Well, why would I want to take? I'm already laboring and I'm heavy laden. Why would I want one more thing to throw on the top of it? Okay? Why would I want to do that? And Jesus says, "For I am meek and lowly, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls." Listen, it's not that God's going to... We all have problems in life. We all got family that's, you know, whatever, doing that maybe is a heartache or is a hurting spot, okay? And God doesn't say, "I'm just going to fix all of this." I don't really see that. But you know what God does if we will bring it to Him? I think God gives us that rest. Yeah, we still have to carry it. You still have to do part of your job, okay? But I think that God also just says, "Hey, bring it to me and let me help you with it." All right? You know, the yoke, when you think about the thought of the yoke, I'm not a horse person, okay, as far as terminology. But the yoke, when I think of a yoke, I think of two animals side by side is what I think of, okay? And you know, I think when Jesus says, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke." Why? Because Jesus can help you pull yours. Amen. Okay? He can help you get in the yoke and help pull ours. But my human nature, and I'm gonna show you this in the Bible. Our human nature a lot of times just says, "I'm gonna do this myself. I can do this." Okay? And quite honestly, the world, the philosophy of the world, many times is, well, you can do whatever you set your mind to do. That's very much the philosophy that the world, you know, I seen at one of the schools here, they had like a billboard thing, and it said, "Your attitude determines your destination or your future," or something like that. And, you know, it sounds good. It sounds good, but there's a lot more than that that determines your future and your destination, okay? And And if you're not careful, we just want to, well, I can take care of this. I can handle this. I've got this under control. And we don't ask for help. I don't. I'm terrible about asking for help. Okay? I just, all right, it's got to be done. Let's just get it done. I don't ask for help very much. And not human help, but I also don't ask for God's help the way I ought to. When God says, you know, listen, folks, he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, the wealth in every mine. And we struggle. And it's not that, you know, God just says, hey, you know, with your finances, why don't you just sit down and I'll bankroll everything you want to do. No, God says you still go to work. God didn't say, here, let's just take all your burdens. No, it's a yoke. You get in it with somebody else. Okay? So this thought of rest. Listen, folks, rest is not rest. Learning how to rest is a matter of trust. It's a matter of trust. Do you trust God enough to let God help you with something? Or do we just try to do it ourselves? Many times I just try to do it myself. Okay? It's a matter of trust. Every one of you, when you sat down this morning to rest your legs on this pew, okay, you trusted that pew to hold you. Okay? Now, I didn't watch anybody sit down this morning, okay? But I didn't be anybody. No, you know, nobody was like testing the pew. Why did you not test the pew? Because most of you have sat down hundreds of times, many of you in the same spot, for decades, a lot of you, okay? You've sat in the same, you know, Waltons have sat in the same third row as long as I remember, okay? You know why they trust that pew? Because they've sat on it for hundreds of times over the last couple decades, all right? They trust it. The first time we got new chairs out here in the fellowship hall, okay? And they're actually really comfortable, but they do not look as sturdy as the white chair, like the white folding chairs, you know? And the first time I sat down on it, I'm like, you know, what are you doing? You test it, right? You know, as we get older, I think sometimes, I don't know if it's because people play pranks on us or what, you know, but Lydia, my youngest, trusts me pretty much explicitly. Like, she's getting out of a vehicle, like especially my truck, and she climbs over the seat. I better be ready to catch her because she will just jump, right? Okay, now as kids get older, I don't know, I think there's this, you know, probably because us as parents were like, psych, and let them, you know, whatever, fall or something. But, you know, as an adult, there's some things we just trust and some things we don't. You know, when you flip on the light switch, you trust that it's going to come on, correct? I mean, I think, at least I do. Even when the power's out, I still flip on the light switch, okay? And so this trust that we have, it's important because this rest is dependent upon our trust. If I don't trust this, I'm not going to rest something on it. Okay? If I don't trust it, I'm not going to rest on it. If you don't trust God, why would you ever rest on him? Okay? So I think rest is more a matter of, do we really trust God that God can take care of this? There's several thoughts of rest. Exodus chapter number 31. Let's chase this through the Bible. I'm just going to show you a few thoughts here. Exodus chapter 31. If we went back all the way to Genesis, we see the first mention of rest. It was when God created in 6 days. God created. And on the seventh, he what? Rested. All right? And so that thought is continuing through the Bible. Exodus chapter 31, verse number 17. Or actually, looks like at verse number 15. 6 days may work be done, but in the seventh is a Sabbath of rest, holy to the Lord. Whosoever doeth any work on the Sabbath day, he shall surely be put to death. Wherefore the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations for a perpetual covenant. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was what? Refreshed. He rested and was refreshed. Me and my wife have gotten into, and I know everyone in here is a little older, but me and my wife have gotten into the habit, I guess, of about every 2 months, or probably 3 months, we've just been for 2 days. We'll get away for about 2 days. All right? And you say, Brother Chad, why do you do that? All right? Here's the reason why. I think God designed rest for us. And if we're not careful, we get so busy, right, that we don't actually take time to rest and be refreshed. I believe, listen, folks, I believe that rest is important, okay? I'm not going to sit up here and say that, bless God, your Sunday afternoon nap. But, I think it's almost a doctrine in the Bible, Sunday afternoon nap, you know? most of you would probably agree. I tell that to fifth graders, and they're like, what? No, I don't need sleep, right? But I think rest is very important. Because you can get, we hear about people getting burnt out. It does get wearisome. For instance, okay, I know that what we do on Sunday, all right, is ministry, but it's still work in a lot of ways. I don't have a morning. I don't have a morning in my life. And you said, Brother Chad, that's your choice. Okay, maybe it is my choice. But I don't have a morning in my life where it's just get up and be like, okay, I don't have to be anywhere at 7:30 this morning. Pretty much every day of my life, somebody's expecting me to be there. You know, even on Sunday. Get up and you drive a bus. Okay? And if you're not careful, you can start getting overwhelmed and heavy laden, okay? And it's just something that you carry. But sometimes we just want to carry it, we want to carry it, and you're going to get tired, okay? God designed rest to help us. We see that throughout the Bible. God designed that rest is important. And and like I said, I think the spiritual application is, are you trusting God with what you're carrying, or we just decided we're going to carry it all ourselves, okay? So this rest, 34, Exodus chapter 34, you're real close there, I'll just read this verse, Exodus chapter 34, and over and over in Exodus, Leviticus, it talks about the Sabbath, but Exodus chapter 34, verse 21, 6 days shalt thou work, but on the seventh day thou shalt rest, in earing time and in harvest, thou shalt rest. And I picked that verse in particular because it's like, all right, you know what God said? This is probably one of your busiest times. But still, take some time and rest. Okay? I think God knew the importance of rest here. Psalm chapter 37. Brother Chad, when can we, what if there's a lot of stuff going on in our world and we get anxious and we get upset because of all the evil? Go to Psalm chapter 37. We'll show you this verse. Psalm chapter 37. Look at verse number 7. Bible says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Listen, you can look, if you're not careful, you start carrying the weight of the sin of our country. And I'm not saying you shouldn't. I think we all ought to be grieved at where our country's going and the direction it's going. But honestly, folks, if you're not careful, you can start, I hate to say personalizing it, but you know, I mean, you get upset with this and this and this and this because of the evil that's going on. And you know what? What can you do to control it? Can you do anything? I mean, we can go vote, and we all should. Next week, everyone should go vote. Okay, that's our duty. That's the right thing to do. Okay? But if you're not careful, if you start listening, and this is a lot of it, you start listening to the news, and you listen to the podcast, and you're on the internet all the time or watching stuff, it can be very wearisome to your soul. Okay? Let me just ask you, if you're in the yoke with Jesus, okay, that means you're partnered up. The Bible says he will give you rest unto your souls, your soul, your mind, your heart, your will. Okay? I think God wants our minds to be rested. I think God wants your will, your heart, the way you feel to be rested. Or are you constantly eating this and then I've got a guy, he helps me with, he's an agent. We'll just say that. He's an agent for me. Okay, you can surmise what kind of agent he would be. There's only so many agents I deal with. Not very many FBI on occasion, but no. He's my agent, all right? Every time I go into his office, all right, to get something done, he's got, I don't know if Sean Hannity is still a thing anymore, but he used to have like Rush Limbaugh, Sean Hannity, all that going on every time I go into his office. And every time I go into his office, I mean, he blows up about what's going on in our country. Listen, am I excited about it? No. But do I lose sleep about it? No. Listen to me, and I'm going to probably preach a message sometime. I was cutting wood the other day with my chainsaw, okay? I was cutting wood the other day. Brother Ryan, I was going to town. I mean, I got a good sharp chain, going to town on it. And I got thinking, you know the old saying, let the chips fall where they may? I got thinking about that, and I think I'm going to preach a message sometime about it, bring a chainsaw in or something, I don't know. But I was cutting down through that wood, and not one time did I ever look back and be like, that chip fell in the wrong spot. Not one single time. You know why? Because I wasn't concentrated on where the chips were falling. I was concentrated on the job that needed done. And if you know, I don't know how many revolutions my saw turns by times how many teeth it's got on the chain, but it's a lot. And Brother Don, I mean, I'm cutting through that wood, and if I worried about every chip that fell, I would never get any wood cut. Make sense? Okay? Now, I'm not trying to be lackadaisical about stuff, but at some point, folks, trust that, you know, God guides the heart of the king. And if God wants somebody in office for America's good or for America's bad, I'd say America deserves it, even if it is bad. Okay? Now, like I said, I'm going to do what I can. But ultimately, just trust God in it. Trust God that God will give us, and listen, God will give us not just what we need. God will give us what we need to get through whatever may come. Okay? But are you worried about all the chips that are just flowing around everywhere? Or are you worried about, okay, well, I can't cut no more wood because I might get chips in the wrong spot? I don't care where I get chips. All right? They can go wherever they want. I need to be more concerned about, listen, God gave us some commands in the Bible to do, and if we're more worried about the repercussions of, well, I'm worried about how this may affect this person. No, just do what God told you to do and let the chips fall where they may. Okay? And when you can kind of get to that place in life, I hate to say, Brother Chad, that you're just flipping about everything. No, I am concerned about some things. But I don't want to be concerned about the chips. I'd rather be concerned about the wood that needs cut. Okay? And so what do you see, bro? What are you doing, Brother Chad? I want to trust God that God will work out what he needs to work out. You know what I'm doing? Just rest. Let God carry some of that. All right? Instead of you trying to carry everything yourself, let God carry some of it. Brother Chad, how do we not get rest? You're in Psalms 37. Look at verse number 3. We don't get rest because of sin. Look at verse number 38. I'm sorry, I think I said 37. Psalms 38, look at verse 3. There is no soundness in my flesh because of thine anger, neither is there any rest in my bones because of my sin. For mine iniquities are gone over mine head as a heavy burden. They are too heavy for me. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 4. Why do we not get rest? It's because of sin. Sin is a heavy thing to carry. I'm going to show you this in Hebrews chapter 4. I honestly, until I was studying this last night a little bit, I never had kind of associated this. But Hebrews chapter number 4, this is an interesting passage. Hebrews chapter 4, the Bible says, verse number 1, let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest. Okay? Now listen, what did I just say? What did I say earlier? What is rest ultimately? It's a trust. If you don't, you know, Hebrews chapter 4 basically is coming in and saying, if you don't trust God, all right, which is the crux of salvation, by faith we accept that what God did at Calvary and what Jesus did on the cross is all I need for my salvation. If I don't trust that and rest in that, I won't have rest with my salvation. There's so many people that want to work their way to heaven. Because why? Because they're not resting in the fact that they trusted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. They want to carry the whole load themselves. And you know what? They will, you know, you can pay, you know, if you really think about it, you can pay for your own sin debt. Because the penalty of that is, you know, the way you pay is to go to hell. And you can, if you want to. But I choose to trust, I choose to rest in the fact that I don't have to carry that load myself. Why? Because Jesus already carried it for me. Amen. Okay? That's what this, let's read down through here. Verse number 4, for he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. Verse 5, and in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest, seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of what? Unbelief. They didn't trust it. Well, I don't think so. Unbelief is the same as not trusting. Okay? So, this unbelief. Again, he limiteth a certain day, saying, in David, today, after so long a time, as it said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. For if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day. There remaineth, therefore, a rest to the people of God. So, Brother Chad, what's the crux of this lesson this morning? What are you trusting God with, and what are you just trying to do yourself? Because I think God wants us to rest in him. He says that in Matthew chapter 11, ye shall find rest for your souls. Why? If we just trust enough to let God have some of it, instead of trying to, I'm very guilty of just trying to carry it myself. All right? Hey, whatever you're carrying, the burden you're carrying, why don't you just take some time this week and just give it to God? Does that mean, Brother Chad, I should just let go of it? No. You still got to carry it. But it's getting in that yoke and just resting, just trusting God. That God can take care of it. Listen, concentrate on the wood that needs cut, not wherever the chips are falling. Okay, let's pray. Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for this quick lesson of rest. Lord, I'm very guilty of just not trusting you enough in my life. Lord, I pray that I would rest in you. And Lord, I pray that just the burdens that each person in here carries. They're all different, but they're all very real. And Lord, I pray that we would trust you with those things and learn to lean upon you. Thank you for all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen.